setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I'm coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how to get there. Yep, you figured it out. It's all about you and your purpose. And we're talking about your purpose in your work because that is inextricably tied to you, the person. You were created to work. In other words, you were created to contribute. So we're not preaching being a workaholic and success, 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 and go make a bunch of money and have a private plane. That's not this kind of show. We're talking about doing what you were created to do. Because if you're on purpose in your contribution, using your talent to perform your passion, to accomplish your mission, let me break that down. Talent, it's what you do best. Hard skills, soft skills. Passion, I define as just simply work you love. You love it for the work. Just the work itself. You think about it, you get excited. When you're in the middle of it, you've got the juice and time seems to disappear. And then, of course, mission is simple. The results that you want to contribute to this world. Everybody wants to make a difference. It's ultimately about others. And if you're on purpose in your work, let me tell you something. You're going to end up making more money, enough money. You're going to be a better spouse, a better parent, a better sibling, a better friend, a better teammate. Studies show it. It's not my opinion. We all long to make a difference. That's why we ask the question, what should I do with my life? The answer, what you were born to do. And I'm going to help you figure that out because you have the answers inside of you. Talent, passion, mission. That's how you get clear, stage one. And then we have six more stages. Get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job. Why? To give yourself away, to work like no one else. So no matter where you are in your journey, we can help. You want to move up, get a bigger shovel? I'm your guy. How do you figure out how to transition when you're in debt? I'm your guy. Ramsey Solutions Certified. I can talk money so that you can accomplish your dream. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Angela starts us off in Los Angeles, California. Angela, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a new listener. I've been listening to you now for about 2 months straight. I think I've listened to at least 50 or 60 of your podcasts.
Thank you.
And so it's been extremely helpful just listening to you counsel other people. So thank you. But it's still, I hate what I do right now. Let's start there. Okay. I'm just burnt out. I've been a hairstylist for 30 years. And my hands hurt. My ankles hurt. The other challenge for me is that I have so many passions, I cannot land. I'm like scatterbrained. So what I end up doing is trying different things, spending a whole lot of money, and never getting the result that I attempt to. So during the COVID, obviously I was not in the salon because, you know, business dried up. So I started an online product store. I hate that. Like, that was not what I was passionate about. I was responding to making money.
Yeah.
And that's been like the last at least 20 years of my career. I've been a stylist for 30 years now. It's just focused on making money. So I'll try different things, invest in different things just to make money. So from listening to your show, I have not listened to my heart. Like, my heart's been crying the same cries, but even in that, I still can't choose. I'm like,
well, okay, hold on. Okay, but that's my job. My job is to help you see some things that maybe you can't see or get outside of your head. Because I think your heart's giving you some really clear options, but your head may be talking you out of some things. So I love that your heart is crying. So tell me what your heart's crying about. I don't care if it's three options or four options. I want to know them. List them out for me.
Oh, God. I am passionate about Black families. I'm passionate about the Black community. I'm passionate about Black church. And I don't, you know, want to sound racist or whatever, but it's just there's so many different breaches and things that I know where I can help. I just don't know how to.
There's the issue.
Get started.
That's it. So let's. Can we? I don't want to overgeneralize, but if you'll trust me, can we put black families, black community, black church all in one bucket? Because I think that those are not as separate as you listed them out for me. And no, I don't think it's. I don't think it's racist. You have a heart for your community, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, that's not racist. There are. It's not. It's not. It's not that you just have a heart for black men and women and families and churches. That's really not it. There's something else. Go deeper. What are the problems you want to solve? Who are the people specifically that you most want to help in the black community? What are the solutions you get fired up about? Answer that.
The pain and the dysfunction. Like I volunteer in abortion recovery ministry. I'm just not trying, but so when we take people from where they start to where they end up, I don't care if I have a migraine, if I'm exhausted, like it's just exhilarating. Like I like to see when people are healed and feel better and making better choices. I love teaching. I love to teach. I do have 2 degrees, but, you know, here in Los Angeles, the competition is just, you know, so I've been thinking about the proximity principle and just trying to.
So what are your, okay, so this is really good. So let's, we got a couple minutes left and I'm going to force you to make some choices here because I want you to just listen to your heart and stop thinking. So if you could do something tomorrow, I could place you in it. No qualifications necessary, just do it tomorrow. And you knew you couldn't fail, and you are in some way serving the pain, the frustration, the disadvantages, whatever. You know what it is in the black community. What would you be doing? Just tell me.
I would be going into families, households, into the schools, and into the churches, and I would be teaching them conflict resolution skills and coping skills and biblical principles about family and life and making better choices.
All right. Love that. All right. So let's just call that. That's the mountaintop. Okay. So how do we climb to that? That becomes what we do. That's where all of our focus is right now. So where would that position be even available? Well, certainly you're going to have to talk about your black churches where that have a pretty good outreach program. Because if it's a government agency, they're not going to let you teach biblical principles.
Yep.
However, you might be able to work for a government agency and go serve those people. And instead of popping the Bible out in front of them all the time, you're teaching them biblical truth, but they don't know it's biblical truth. It may be straight out of Hebrews, but you're saying it. You're saying it Angela style, right? So here's my point. I think you're an advocate, not a teacher. I think you'll teach and instruct, but I don't think it's a traditional teacher position. I think you want to advocate and guide. And what I'm hearing is not education, traditional education. What I'm hearing is, hey, I want to get in there, and this is a relationship stuff. I want to teach relationship stuff. I want to teach conflict resolution. I want to share values with people and show them how they can be modeled every day. I want to give them a hand up, not a handout. I think you need to find the agencies, the nonprofits, the ministries that are helping those people and start volunteering if a position's not open right now. Just get started doing that. If you're considering a career in technology, I recommend Bethel Tech, and I'm not alone. Brendan said, before Bethel Tech, I was driving Uber. Within 4 months of graduating, I got a job paying $60,000. About 2 years after that, I got a remote job that pays $130,000, all thanks to what I learned at Bethel Tech. This is what I want for you folks. Get started today at BethelTech.net and get $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help men and women get clear so that they can get qualified. We help men and women get connected so they can get started. We help men and women get promoted so they can get the dream job and work like no one else because they give of themselves. Work is about giving yourself away. You have a talent, multiple talents. You've got passion, work that you just get fired up for, and there are results that you want to create. And when you realize that that is worthy to work like that, Monday mornings take on a whole new feel. 80% of the world disengaged at work. Doesn't mean they hate their job, but disengaged. What does that mean? It's just a job. I'm thankful for it. It's a nice paycheck. But you know there's more. And I'm telling you, the process for figuring it out, getting qualified, getting the transition, getting the connections, the opportunities, it's not as difficult as it seems. There is a process. We've got it. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Brandon in Ellisville, Mississippi. Brandon, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
How's it going, Mr. Ben?
Brandon, I am living the dream. What's going on with you?
Yes, sir. Hey, so this is the deal. I was just trying to figure out at what point do I justify, you know, finding, you know, a new job, like a new career path, really. I work for my family. We have a small construction company, and I love the work. I really do. I love working with them, but I just know it's not for me. I know it's not where I see myself, you know, 20 years from now doing this, you know. And I'm just trying to figure out, at what point do I decide to start pursuing what I dream of doing, or what I feel like I'm made to do?
Today, right now. You went ahead and called me. I think now's the moment you decide.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I'm holding you to the letter of the law on your question, because you said, what is the point, when is the moment that I decide to pursue what I know that I'm put on this planet to do? The answer is now. Doesn't mean that you leave the job now. We're not ready. Clearly, I don't think you're ready, but we decide now. I decide I'm going to figure out what this is. I'm going to figure out all the different places I can do this work that I know that I'm called to do. And then I'm going to figure out how to get qualified. And then I'm going to start getting connected. And eventually the opportunity is going to present itself for me to leave the family company and get started. And then I'm going to bust my tail so that I can get promoted, so that I can eventually step into that dream job. Why? To work like no one else, to truly give myself away. I just walked through my 7 stages, which is a very clear path to doing what it is you want to do. So you decide today.
Yes, sir.
Next question.
That was it. I appreciate it.
Do you know what it is you want to do?
You know, I haven't narrowed it down to just a great job, but, you know, I've been involved in the church, and I love helping people, and I love teaching, and it's something that I love teaching, you know, younger people. I'm only 25, but there's a lot of 18 and 19-year-olds that look up to me, and I like teaching them about money and stuff. So I've actually started to get connected with some financial advisors in my area.
Good.
And stuff like that. And just seeing if that would be a good spot.
That's perfect. That's the proximity principle.
Yes, sir.
Have you got my book?
I do not.
You do today. I'm giving it to you. This is why I wrote that book. I wrote that book early on. I just finished the manuscript to my next book. Comes out in November. And it is basically the 7 stages that I just went through, the 7 stages to meaningful work that I teach every day on the show. And I've written a book on that. When we wrote the proximity principle, it's kind of like we got it out of order, because it was like I wanted to help people get this advantage. The advantage for your entire journey, even once you know what you want to do, is the proximity principle. It's the game changer. It's the secret sauce for opportunity. And you're familiar with it, correct?
A little bit, yes, sir.
Great. Well, I'm giving you the book, whatever format you want, but I want you to read it, and I want you to actually do it. It's not a motivational book. It's a very practical manual on how to get connected to do what you're talking about. I call it clarify and verify. This is what the proximity principle does. The proximity principle says, in order to do what Brandon wants to do, he's got to be around people that are doing it in places where it is happening. Now, that's what you're going to do once you figure it out, but you can actually use the proximity principle on the front end of all that too. I'm going to start getting around people that are doing what I think I might want to do. And in doing that, we clarify and verify. You start hanging around with some financial advisors, shadow them for a day, take them to lunch, take them to coffee, and ask three or four different ones all the same questions, like you're doing a college term paper. And you're going to get a pretty idea once you get all of the answers to your unanswered questions right now. Your heart's going to literally go ding, 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 or like the red X on Family Feud. Joe, we need to get that sound effect. That's got to be out there. Not now, not this moment, but we need the Family Feud X. There's not a greater sound on the planet. And instead of me doing in the thing like that, Joe, we'll just have that. Perfect, Joe. You're so good. And we need a game show sound for the ding, 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 right? There's got to be, that's up next, right? And here's the deal, though. Your heart will literally do that. It's amazing. And so people don't listen to their heart. They do everything in their head, and they go, well, is this a safe career? Is this a good career? And then they go do all this education for it, and all this qualification to get in the job, and they go, sucks. Now what do I do? You got to get in proximity. And when you do that, your head and heart will align. Because once your heart goes ding, 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 or thank you, Joe. You're a little slow. Be ready. I'm testing Joe, folks, live on the air, the poor guy. When your heart does that, then cross it off the list. If your parents, your friends, wait for me, Joe. I got another one coming up. We're going to have some fun with this. If your parents and your friends are going, I think you should do this. This is a great career. And you go get in proximity to people that are doing that, and your heart goes, then you got to tell your friends and family, hey, no thanks. Boy, I could really get used to that. That'll drive Madison nuts, Joe, but we're going to have some fun with that. So, and the flip side is this, when you go and get in proximity and your heart goes, oh my gosh, I would love to do this, ding, 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 then you got to listen to that. You got to listen to that. That's what most people never do. And here's why that's so important. When you and get super clear in your heart, that's what keeps you going. When life and the journey gets tough. Brandon, I'm telling you, brother, going into ministry is going to be tough. It just is. But when the days of doubt come up and the evil one, Satan, gets in your ear and goes, Brandon, this is a waste of time. You're not supposed to do this. What are you going to do? You're going to retreat back to your heart. You're going to remember what your heart has said. And that's why I talk about clarity leads to confidence and confidence leads to courage. It's the heart. Clarity of the heart is what gives us the confidence and the courage. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm a PK. Ministry's tough, man. But if that's where your heart's leading you, you need, whether it's ministry or finances or whatever. Sorry, I said ministry because you said the church thing. I think you need to explore the church thing. I think you need to explore being a financial advisor, financial coach. Explore all of that so that you get real clarity. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir, I do.
You got this, don't you, Brandon?
Yes, sir.
Are you fired up right now?
I'm fired up.
I'm fired up too. I'm fired up for you because when I got a 25-year-old on the other end of the line saying, Ken, I know the direction, then all that's left for you to do, Brandon, and anybody else out there that knows this is my mountain, and what you got to do is head over that direction and begin to look at all the different ways to climb the mountain. And that's that clarify and verify process that the proximity principle will do for you. I promise it works. And just real practical. When I started into broadcasting, I thought it was going to be sports talk, as I love sports. I love sports talk. I love talking and watching sports. And I tasted it. I sampled it. I went and volunteered and worked in a sports radio station and watched it and consumed it and soaked in it long enough for my heart to go, and it did. I was like, hey, I couldn't do this every day. I know it's broadcasting. I don't know what type of broadcasting. I know it's not politics. I know it's not sports. And I kept with it. And I kept with it. And now I'm doing personal growth, career counseling, coaching on the air. That's the process. Trust it. Are you feeling stuck and disengaged in your current job? If you're searching for a new job for any reason, the Get Hired live stream event on April the 27th is for you. At this event, you're going to learn how to get clear on what you do best, get qualified for the job you want, and get connected to job opportunities. No matter what your situation is, there is hope. Join me on Tuesday, April the 27th to take control of your career and start working toward what you were born to do. Text the word HIRED to 33789 to learn more. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get unstuck and then start getting on purpose, making purposeful steps forward to doing what you were created to do. Life's too short to just work a plain old J-O-B. It just is. You know it, and I'm here to help you get out of that pattern, out of that mindset, and let's take what is a daunting proposition for many because of your financial situation, because of the fact that you don't feel you're qualified. Maybe you got too many ideas, you don't know how to narrow them down. We simplify the process. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Phoenix, Arizona, where Abby joins us next. Abby, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help?
Well, my question is, currently I travel as a respiratory therapist, and I make really good money doing that, and I was able to pay off debt. But now I'm wondering if I should go ahead and take a full-time job, because with travel, there's not as much opportunity to invest, and then I don't have much benefit. So what would you think?
I think for a variety of reasons, the answer is you should come off the road, because I think I can just feel it all over you.
Oh, my word. Are you serious? Oh, wow. That is true. You're right.
I mean, you gave me a couple of reasons, but I think there's so many reasons, and I just think that this is a heavy weighted blanket on you, and you're calling me for permission, and I'm going to give it to you. You don't need it. But I just think that while you're making really good money, I don't know if this is about the benefits or investing. That may be a part of it. I just think it's bigger than that. And I just, I think life is too short to work like that. Am I right?
Okay. Yes. But then that's the thing, because as a therapist with a full-time job, that's like a really big, big pay cut, which is fine. But most therapists are just like, I'm single, so I would just be having one household income, one income coming in.
Well, that was my next question. Can you do this, and how do we go about doing this? But I was addressing the bigger issue, which is, yeah, we need to create a bridge. We need to build a bridge. So traveling therapists make way more money, physical therapy or the nursing therapy. Is that what you're saying?
I'm a respiratory, actually.
I'm sorry, respiratory. I misunderstood. I didn't catch that word. Respiratory. Okay. So the point is if you come off the road, it's a big pay cut to do the same type of work.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you have to weigh that. So how big of a cut is it?
20 plus grand.
Okay. Are you double income, single income? What's your status?
Single. I'm single. I have single income.
Okay. And do you have any debt?
I do.
How much?
Now I only have 11,000 left.
Well, that's great. So 11,000, and what are you making right now? What's your take, not take home, what's your gross?
Gross last year, I make about, at the least, because every travel assignment is different, at the least I make $6,000 a month.
Okay, well, have you filed your taxes yet?
I have.
Okay, what was your income last year in 2020?
The gross was $42,000,
okay.
But that's not including my housing allowance or stipend.
Oh, good. So, So I'm not going to recommend that you leave this job until you pay the debt off, because right now this is to take a $20,000 pay cut, including the housing allowance. That's a pretty big drop, and you're not in a financial position to be able to absorb that. Not right this moment. So feels like to me, yeah, you don't even need to be thinking about investing. That was one of the reasons you gave, I think. If I heard you correctly, did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
Well, if you're familiar with the Dave Ramsey Show, now the Ramsey Show, and I'm a part of Ramsey Solutions, our baby steps are very simple. Baby step one is put $1,000 in savings. Baby step two is pay the debt off, smallest to largest, and you've been doing that, and you have $11,000 left. Mm-hmm. I would be going crazy to get that $11,000 paid off, and you should be able to do that very, very soon. At which point you begin baby step three, which is 3 to 6 months of your salary in savings. And so 3 months for you, You know, that's, let's call it, you said your gross was 6,000. Your take home is probably what, four?
For my basic needs and expenses.
Yeah, no, just your take home. Yeah. What's your take home? Per month,
a
roughly.
Week?
Yeah, no.
For a month?
For a month, yeah. $3,000? $3,500?
Now I'm making like $8,000-$10,000 a month.
Okay, your numbers aren't adding up. Just so you know, your numbers aren't adding up. I'm not saying that you're telling me the wrong numbers. I'm saying it's not adding up. You told me that...
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I want to encourage you on something. Number one, I'm going to give you a free trial to Ramsey Plus. You need to get in Ramsey Plus, which is it's an online subscription program, and it's got our Baby Steps app, so you can track out your baby steps because you're about ready to walk out of Baby Step 2, and it just gives you some clarity. You need to use every dollar. You need to know what your budget is. You don't even know that. So you got to get a good grip on that. So it comes back to my answer. You have to build a bridge, a financial and a professional bridge, to leave this job. I don't want you to take a 20-some thousand-dollar hit unless you have got the financial plan in place to be able to do that. And for me, the minimum is having at least a 3 to 6 month emergency fund in place before I would take a cut like that. And then that makes sure that you adjust your housing and the other expenses you've been getting above and beyond, which is a really nice benefit, and then go, okay, what am I qualified to do? What that I don't realize that I'm qualified to do. I'm not just going to assume that I can only do respiratory therapy. What else can I do that maybe make me more money? And so you got to get a good sense of what's out there, what you would need to then be qualified, or what you do need to do to be qualified to maybe take a better paying job that allows you to get off the road. But there's no question you need to eventually get off the road. It's you could, like I said, it could feel it all over you. So the answer is yes. The question now becomes when, and I've told you when. Let's stay in the job to pay off the $11,000. Stay in the job to get that emergency fund 3 to 6 months funded. Then we start looking at, okay, where can I adjust my expenses, housing, because I'm going to lose all of that, and can I absorb a $20,000 pay cut? And the answer is you can when you plan for it. But I would say one wrinkle to what I just said that you should consider, as I was telling you, I started thinking of this. If you come off the road and you work two jobs, can you do that for a season and allow you to transition? Maybe you work a part-time job in addition to the respiratory therapy that you're doing. That's something that I would consider to get you off the road. But one way or the other, you're going to have to sacrifice, bite the stick a little bit, and really grind it out to get in a place financially where you have zero debt, you got an emergency fund in place. Now we can start to make some really good career decisions because we have some financial freedom. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You got this though, Abby. You're really close. Can I encourage you? I want you to feel really encouraged before I let you go. You feel encouraged? You got this. I'm going to give you the plan. I'm going to get you in Ramsey Plus. You need to get in there and use the Every Dollar app. And you need to use the baby steps, the tracker, and you need to use the debt payoff, all of that stuff, everything in there. There's so much content in there, so much beyond what I just said, but you need to get control of your finances a little bit clearer, a little bit more disciplined, and you got this. So hang on the line. Madison's going to get you in Ramsey Plus. For the rest of you that are listening in, your money is a huge part of this journey towards doing meaningful work. And being able to afford the qualification, being able to afford some of the sacrifices, comes down to money. So if you got money questions as a part of this, can I make the transition while I'm still in debt? Yes, you can, but you need to be very strategic about it. The baby steps, the Ramsey Solutions baby steps, don't cancel out the 7 stages to meaningful work. It just doesn't. You can do them at the same time, but you may have to sacrifice, press pause on some stuff to get the money where it needs to be so you can make progress. Don't move. Coming up next, how many hours at work is too many? A story right out of the news. This is the Ken Coleman Show. guiding you on the path forward to fulfilling your purpose in your work and in your life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. I am your friend. I'm one phone call away. It's a free number, by the way, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Just a quick reminder, you can connect with me on Instagram at Ken Coleman. And our website is kencoleman.com. Tons of free resources, and we've got great resources that you can pay for that are just bargain stuff for the value you get. So go check it out. Spread the word. Let's go to Margie in Houston, Texas. Margie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I appreciate you speaking with me.
You bet. What's going on?
Well, there's a lot of confusion in my life right now. I am a 70-year-old widow. I'm on Social Security. My husband passed away last year, and entitled to his pension. Actually, today would have been our 25th wedding anniversary.
Oh, no.
I'm doing a full-time job along with my Social Security, and that amounts to half of my monthly income. But there's a possibility in the fall that I will be out of that job because it's a respite care situation with a teenager, and she may age out of some of her programs that they provide for her. So if mine is one of those programs, then I won't even be able to make my monthly bills. And what I wanted to know is whether you thought it was foolish for someone my age to start a cottage business.
What kind of business?
I dread the thought of going out and working somewhere at a cash register or something at my age, but I'm talking about doing baking and candy making and things like that at home.
Yeah. I don't think it's foolish. I would start it now. I would go ahead and get started now to see if, you know, we can get this thing up and running, see what kind of real money we can make prior to, you know, this fall situation. This what if is kind of hanging over our heads. So now's the time to be thinking, what are my options? Let me go back. I just want to get a better financial picture. You're drawing Social Security. Are you drawing your Social Security or your husband's?
That's my husband's.
Okay. And
I was drawing my own, which wasn't much. And then when he passed, they gave me his.
Okay. And so you've got that coming in. And about how much is that per month?
That is $1,370 a month.
Okay. And then how much are you making in this job where you're caring for this teenager?
I'm bringing home $1,770 from that.
Okay, so right at so let's call it $3,100, $3,200 a month is what your bring home is.
Yeah.
What are your bills? What do you have to cover?
My bills are pretty much equal to my income.
What's that? Is it debt?
I was getting ready to start paying off doing the snowball thing with the credit cards.
Good.
And I was going to take money out of my little bit of savings, which pretty much would wipe that out and then leave me the $1,000 emergency fund.
Okay, good. Let's walk through that.
Right before I was going to do that, then I got hit with this Thousand Trails Campground membership that I stopped paying on that because our motorhome was repossessed and I couldn't afford to make those payments or the Thousand Trails payments. And now they're wanting the whole $5,800. So if I pay them, then I can't do the snowball.
Got it. Okay,
so that's why I say everything's just
All right, let's walk through it real quick. Okay, we're going to help you. That's the good news. All right, so you owe $5,800 to the camping site, and then what else do you, what are your other debts? List them out for me.
I have $7,700 in credit card debt.
Mm-hmm.
I owe $2,200 on my car, and I really, to tell you just right up front, I'm not getting rid of my car.
You're not what?
I'm not getting rid of my car.
Well, I didn't tell you that, so that's good. But I like that we're. No. I like that we've drawn a line in the sand. That's good. How much is the car worth?
The car actually is worth 21 to 23.
All right. Well, that's fine. We don't need to get rid of it.
Deal on it. So that's what I'm looking at. It's,
how much do you have in savings?
I have $7,000 in savings.
And is that it? The $7,700 in credit cards, $5,800 campground, $2,200 car. Is that it in debt?
That's it.
Okay. Okay. Well, I would start baking now because the baking, you know, let's say you bring in $300 or $400 a month in baking. I'm just throwing a number out. You know, mm-hmm. that can go towards paying that car off, which will be great. And then you can take the car payment amount and start knocking that into the credit cards. I would get on the phone with our financial coach here. I'm going to get you in Ramsey Plus, and let's get her online with one of our financial coaches that'll kind of walk her through what her direct next steps are. But you got this, Margie. You can do this. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So how many hours at work a week is too many? Now, some of you heard that question. You're like, one. I'll have half an hour for 500, Alex. Right? I know that some of you right now said that. And you know what? That's why you're listening to this program. So hang in there. We're gonna get you out of that. But realistically, you know, like, what, at what point do you go, this is too much and the culture here is broken, we've got poor leadership here, this isn't a season where we got to bear down, this is an ongoing, never ending, no light at the end of the tunnel type situation? And at what point do you go, it's too much? I'm going to address that, but let me give you a story here and I'll come back to that. Okay, so here's the story. CNBC broke a viral internal survey. So they kind of broke it, then it went viral, I guess you should say. Goldman Sachs. Okay, we're talking name brand. Goldman Sachs Finance, right? Big time financial company. Goldman Sachs CEO David Solomon had to address junior bankers' complaints over heightened workloads in a message to his employees after the results from an internal survey. So that means they were going, there's some smoke down below. We better go check that out. So they do a survey, and the survey comes back, and it ain't pretty. Things like inhumane. I'm physically in pain. This is some of the stuff going on. We're talking about 100-hour work weeks. Some of these junior bankers were working. So I'm going to skip most of the stuff in the article, but suffice it to say, the CEO had to come out and say, we're going to revisit our no work on Saturdays policy, and we're going to reinforce that. Oh, you got to reinforce a no work on Saturday? What's going on there? I'm going to tell you, it's a leadership breakdown, leadership fail, period. If you've got a company policy that says nobody works on Saturdays and people are working on Saturdays all the time, they're being forced to come in on Saturdays or work from home on Saturdays, we have a leadership problem. And so let's just bring this back in real quick to you who may be in a situation where you may not be working 100 hours, but you're working 55, 60 hours and have been for weeks and weeks, months and months on end. So I'm going to tell you when I believe you should say enough is enough. I'm not talking about having to pull a 55-hour week to get a product, to get the finish line, or to fix an emergency, or COVID shows up and we got to all hands on deck go hard for a couple of months or 3 months, and leadership is clearly communicated. This is not the new norm. This is a all hands on deck. We got to bail the water out of the boat. We got to put the fire out. If it's clearly communicated, clearly, not just you're going to be pulling some extra shifts, you're going to do stuff. Here's what you're doing. Here's why you're doing. And this is how long we think it's going to last. If it goes any longer, we're not going to allow that. We'll address it. That to me, folks, is good leadership because it's clear communication. Because then people can go, okay, I get it. We got a 4-alarm fire. We all got to band together. We're going to have to work a lot longer hours, work a lot harder, do some things I haven't had to do in the past. But I understand why we're doing this. I understand what my job is. And I understand this is temporary. And they're going to keep communicating along the way. That's beautiful. If that's not what has happened or it's happening in your increased workload, you ought to be hearing 4 alarms in your head. Okay, This is bad news. This is bad leadership. I don't know when it's going to get better, but you can't keep this up. People can bear down for a season and really dig deep. They can. But they will eventually not be able to be effective at 55 plus hours. Now, let me just tell you something about this Goldman Sachs CEO. He ought to be ashamed because he has to do very little research on the Google, as I like to say. It drives my kids nuts. Just go check me out, folks. Go on the Google and research productivity. Does it decline or increase with more hours? Across the board, productivity declines. The more hours a person works, mental and emotional damage begins to take place. It just does. They want to go home. They need a break. And the mental and the emotional turns into physical. They start to break down emotionally, mentally, physically. So even if they're clocking 100 hours, they're not giving you what you would get in 40 healthy hours. That is the reality. There's no study in the world that says working longer hours in a day increases productivity. You might see a short-term gain because they're just bailing water out, but eventually the exhaustion takes over, as I just detailed out, and you got a fraction of that person. So then you lose good people. So leaders, there's better ways to make tough decisions than just frying people. So I'm going to tell you something. If you're in a company right now where there is no clear communication and you're having to work crazy hours and there's no end in sight, it's time for you to start looking somewhere else. And the reason people put up with this is because they're scared to look for something else. And I didn't say you had to walk in and resign and put your livelihood and your family at risk. What I'm saying is begin to look elsewhere. Bite the stick, gut it out, but know that you're in a toxic situation and it's time for you to decide and do what is necessary to get out. You're just not made to work that many hours. It's not going to be a good thing for them or for you. There's your warning. I'm telling you, get out. And leaders, don't lie to yourself and say that the only way to get through a tough season is for everybody to work themselves to the absolute nth degree and they can't even feel themselves when they walk out. No, there's other things you can do. Increased hours over a short period of time? Yes. Long period of time? It's crazy. And let me tell you what else is coming, by the way. And I'm not saying I'm for it, so don't anybody put words in my mouth. But let me tell you what movement is already beginning to happen. It's like a small wave. It looks like a small wave. I think it's going to be a big wave in 2021. And that is the four-day work week. I'm telling you, this is coming to America. I'm not saying it's going to be adopted across the board, but this four-day work week is going to be a thing. And with the COVID work-from-home reality that we're still facing, what we saw at work across the board, I'm not saying it was a long-term solution, but for a lot of companies, like, hey, this is fine. I don't think it's good for culture. But I can also point to you a lot of companies that do all remote workers and they're winning. So I'm not going to make this generalization. But what I am telling you is with what happened with working from home and how companies pivoted and adjusted and made different decisions, brought in new technologies, yada, 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 you're going to see workers bring it up. I think you see some companies, they'll step out and go, you know what? This is how many hours we need from you to get the job done. I really don't care if you're working 4 days or 5 days. You're already working from home. I'm telling you, it's a very interesting situation. So why do I bring that up? Specifically, I know we have leaders that listen to this program. And for those of you, you know, who are leading and you're in a situation or you know some leaders, they need to wake up and understand that flexible work hours and getting the job done, they're going to have to figure that out. What's that marriage look like for them, for you, for the workforce? Because I'm telling you, you're going to see more and more of this. especially as Gen Z continues to flood the marketplace. They're the generation below millennials, young 20-somethings graduating right now. So don't stick your head in the sand about what a healthy culture looks like. Be brave and step out. Hey, my time's almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruz Show.
Hey guys, it's Rachel Cruz, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt. They don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to The Rachel Cruz Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruz wherever you listen to podcasts or go to rachelcruz.com.